A recent federal report ties an individual's past experiences of abuse and neglect to the need for social service providers to quickly recognize that history. Providing so-called trauma-informed care is emerging as an important factor in dealing with mental health issues, particularly among women. A public forum addressing this trend is being presented in Normal tomorrow. GLT correspondent Willis Kern has more.
When trauma impacts young children, the long-term effects can be detrimental to society, in addition to the individual traumatized. The Women to Women Giving Circle, a program of the Illinois Prairie Community Foundation, will hold a public forum centering on the need for trauma-informed care, the causes behind its need, and how to best deliver services. With us today are two members of the panel. Karen Stipp is Associate Professor at Illinois State University's School of Social Work, and Rob Lusk is Clinical Director at the Baby Fold in Normal. Dr. Stipp and Dr. Lusk, thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
People in your field often say traumatic reactions are normal reactions to abnormal situations. Yet while it's important to recognize that trauma has likely occurred, understanding a traumatized person's coping reactions remains very difficult. Why is that?
As far as youth are concerned, different youth have a variety of reactions to trauma, and there are several protective factors that research has been identified that can really help make a difference in how severely the trauma has an impact or how long it lasts. And the main buffer to longer effects of trauma is social support, and that's true for anyone. For kids, support by parents or caregivers is absolutely critical in helping to buffer those long-term effects. There are plenty of other factors, but that's one that keeps coming up in the research.
Dr. Stitt?
There's wonderful new research that explains to us what happens in the brain when a child experiences trauma. It's wonderful in the fact that it's become very accessible, not just to neuroscientists, but to all of us, to those who are working on the ground with youth, with children and adolescents. One of the most important features of that is understanding that what we've always called misbehavior or being incorrigible or pushing our buttons or they're doing this just to get me, that there are things that are happening, there are connections that aren't being made, what they call neural pathways in the brain that just aren't connecting, and the child isn't able to access their decision-making ability. They've got the ability, there's just this barrier, they aren't able to access it. I think one of the challenges is that terminology, trauma, scares us a little bit. It worries us a little bit. Oh, this child has trauma. What am I going to do? How will I deal with their trauma? I don't even know how to deal with the things that I'm dealing with, much less someone else's trauma. So it's getting to the point now that we're able to normalize it for providers, teachers, mental health care providers, healthcare providers, and be able to say that everyone has some kind of experience. We can all understand having to make a decision and not being able to right in the moment because maybe we're nervous or something really bad just happened. Everybody has had that experience. For the child whose brain is developing, it becomes a more long-term experience, a more chronic experience, and it's up to us to learn how to respond to that.
Is there a difference in assessing the situation when you have, say, a child who normally is deemed a problematic child or someone who usually acts up a lot and does so in a situation where you're trying to assess needed care versus someone who's normally very quiet, very passive, but then all of a sudden they just kind of explode? Are there two approaches there, or do you treat it the same way, each person?
That's a great question. It could be coming from the very same place, and the child who seems very passive, it's really easy to ignore that. It's really easy to see the passive child and to think that they're fine. But to become attuned to that child and to become aware that there may be something that's happening there that we need to catch on to before that erupts, before the eruption happens. So dysregulation can happen either in an upward direction where the child becomes the behavior problem, that's the one that we always recognize, or in a downward direction where the behavior becomes almost non-existent. We don't know what they're thinking based on their behavior.
GLT's Willis Kern reporting on a public forum on trauma-informed care. which happens from 4:30 to 6:30 at Illinois State University's Alumni Center tomorrow. It will be moderated by retired 11th Judicial Circuit Chief Judge Elizabeth Robb. More on the effects of child trauma, including the impact of the Me Too movement and the Kavanaugh hearings, at WGLT.org.